Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 12th day of September, Anno Domini 2020, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Yeah, but before that, somebody had a birthday.
Somebody had a birthday. That's right. I had a birthday.
See, it wasn't me. Wasn't Steve yet.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday, Dick.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I hit the big 7-0 this year.
And you don't look a day over 100.
Thank you so much.
Puppy.
It's hard to live. Yeah. You're old. Somebody at market on Thursday, which was my birthday, asked me, how old are you? And then she said, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask. I said, no. I am. It was a long, hard fight to get here. I'm 70 years old. I should have died at least three times in my life. And I beat death all three times. And so I'm very happy to say that I am indeed 70 years old and quite thrilled to say it.
Wasn't 70 the new 50?
70 is the new, unless you're driving. Yes. I told somebody, I've told everybody, I'm thinking of this as middle age so that I will live to be 140. That's the plan.
Yep.
Like I said, let me know how that works out for you.
I'll send you an email on my 140th birthday. All right.
Don't be surprised if I don't get back to you right away.
Here's the new, what's this? Schmucks. Okay. Google has Google, and then someday I'll reach puberty. Google has started rolling out Android 11 to the general public after several months of beta testing. The latest update to the operating system will become available first on Pixel devices. The latest build of Android 11 is also landing as a beta on more devices. Google says we can expect more manufacturers to make Android 11 available in the coming months. With Android 11, Google mainly sought to make the complex feature set already present on Android more prominent and easier to use. For instance, the small bubble avatars that float on the screen allow you to navigate in and out of chats more easily, and there's a dedicated section for messaging apps at the very top of the notification shade. For priority conversations, people of your choosing can now break through your Do Not Disturb settings. For you also get quick access to all your smart home devices connected to Google Assistant with the same power menu that brings up credit and reward cards. That means you can long press the power button instead of opening several different apps to control your thermostats, lights, or smart locks. The notification shade has gained universal media controls in the notification toggle section. The new notification shade is that thing that you can pull down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a phone with a fingerprint scanner on the back, you can actually scroll down on that to get it, too. That is the coolest thing on the planet, frankly. Scroll down and scroll up right on that.
Oh, yeah.
To pull that down. Anyway, the notification shade has gained several universal media controls in the notification toggle section, which solves one of Android's biggest annoyances. The lock screen media player has a few cosmetic changes. The most notable is the removal of the album art when music is playing, and that should save battery. The sound control pop-up is more compact, and you can now set where the sound output goes. Another annoyance on Android has been the 4-gig file limit for video recordings. That's now removed, so you can shoot videos until your phone catches fire or runs out of storage space or battery power. If you happen to own one of over 500 compatible cars, Android Auto now works wirelessly with any smartphone running Android 11. A built-in screen recorder has been added for those of you who have been waiting for a native solution. And recent panels allow you to select text or take a and the recents panel allows you to select text or take a screenshot using dedicated buttons. Android 11 isn't just about UI user interface changes, though. Google is following in Apple's footsteps by locking down permissions so that they're much more difficult to abuse for data harvesting purposes. Now applications will ask you every time they need permission to access your microphone, camera, or location, with the choice of whether or not to grant that permission once or every time the app is in use. Granting an app to continuous access now requires you to go into the phone settings to set that behavior, as Google wants you to be absolutely sure about that decision and is not making it easy. That's on purpose. Furthermore, if you stop using an app for a long time, the app's permissions will be automatically reset, and upon opening it again, you'll be asked again to decide on the level of access you're willing to give it. If you're using a company-provided Android phone, Google designed Android 11 with some added protections that ensure a separation between work and personal data, making the latter off limits for IT admins. So your personal data on that phone will not be accessible to the administrators corporate part of the phone. That's really nice.
Yeah, accessibility.
Yeah, it is. Accessibility is also improved with voice access, understanding screen content and context better, as well as generating labels and access points for voice commands. Android 11 brings many other changes, but these will be the most noticeable. More importantly, Google is finally getting more Android manufacturers on board with the idea of timely updates. Finally. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Android 11 is rolling out. Your choices are can't wait, I can wait, hope it works on my phone, Android, and other. So far, we have 49 votes. Most of you are saying you hope it works on your phone. I should have put in an option that says I've got it, and I didn't have that. And I should have, because I got it.
Same here.
And anyway, we know you'll have more to say, so if you go to our website at soundbites.org, that's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 12-SEP-20, Android 11 is rolling out. So far, four posts are in there. You can join us there, and of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. For our far-flung listeners, 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can text us at 585-205-8887. And if you text us, please provide some information.
Yeah, just don't say, oh, I got a computer problem.
Yeah.
Or, I got a computer. Well, yeah. You're halfway there. You called the right place or texted the right place.
It doesn't work. Okay, can you tell me more? I just did. It doesn't work.
Right.
We've had customers like
that. Oh yes, you know. We all have.
But Apple's iOS 14 beta that a lot of people are looking at, we're seeing interesting
parallels.
You know, companies borrow features from each other all the time. I don't know. Did we talk last week about the clipboard issue?
No.
One of the new features in the iOS 14 beta is it will warn you when an application looks at your clipboard. So just like in Android now, it's warning you who's using your Bluetooth, who's using your camera. Apple added a feature to who's using your clipboard. And hundreds of programs have been caught looking at your clipboard for no reason anyone can figure out. A couple of companies said, oh, that was a bug. Sorry, we'll fix it.
Yeah.
One interesting thought is that they can't imagine, you know, legitimate companies doing that, you know, accidentally or doing it for malicious purposes. Yeah, there's a lot of fly-by-night companies are probably grabbing your clipboard to see if you can paste a password.
Exactly.
Or a Bitcoin address. There's a lot of known viruses, Bitcoin malware, that will do that too. Some people are thinking there's got to be like a common code base somebody's using that has this feature in it. I think it was LinkedIn was looking at the clipboard every character you typed.
Wow.
And there's no reason for that. No legitimate reason, and the amount of cycles that takes and the processing and speed that would take.
And the amount of your battery that takes.
Yeah.
It's slowing the whole thing down.
It was similar to one of the last year's update where the OS started warning you when a program was asking for Bluetooth access. Yeah, your music program, when you connect to your car, that needs Bluetooth. But Facebook kept popping up wanting Bluetooth. Facebook doesn't need Bluetooth. It was using it to track you. So right. Everyone said, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. You can go in, just like an Android, you can go in and look to see what apps have accessed.
Right.
And you should do that every now and then.
Yes, you should.
You might forgot that you gave this program access to your camera when you wanted to take a picture, but it doesn't need access all the time.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, though, is that folks get, as we've said for decades, click happy.
Right.
They just go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then they're granting that permission that does all that stuff in the background. And then they go, oh, my machine, or, you know, the phone is so slow.
Yep.
Yeah, they see all the other stuff that's running in the background. Well, I didn't do that. Yes, you did.
Yeah,
there's usually an option that will say once while the app is running or always.
Right.
And in fact, I've even seen now on a lot of the notifications on iOS, the always option is gone. There's no reason that some app always needs access to your camera.
Right.
This one time you're running the app or any time you run the app, I could see that. But always, no.
Right. Yeah, you're right. People click happy and people just, or tap happy, I guess.
Yeah.
And we don't think. We just don't think. I don't think I have ever tapped all the time on anything except something for location.
Find my device?
My device, something. Maybe it was Google Keep. Because one of the nice features of Google Keep is you can say, so for example, if you go to a particular restaurant, and usually after the show, I go to one of two or three restaurants and order and pick up stuff to take home for my wife. So you can have it so that when you get to that restaurant, a note from Google Keep will pop up so I can put, you know, what we normally order in there. And so maybe that's the one I gave it.
The first time my phone popped up and said, hey, it's only 10 minutes to this restaurant you usually go to on Saturdays. Okay. I kind of know where it is, but okay.
That's one thing that I've been using. I signed up for it a long time ago. It was Google Keep.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I did is I turned around, and here's a tip for some folks. How often do you go to the doctors and then they say, could we review all of the meds that you're taking?
Oh, yes.
And you're sitting there trying to go through all the prescriptions or pills that you might be taking when you're taking them.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that. I just open up my phone, tap on Google, you know, the Keeps app, and there's my whole list of, because I created a whole list of all my prescriptions. I go, here you go. Oh,
that's neat.
This is current? I go, yeah, it's right up to date. Oh, this is great. So she sits there, usually the nurses, goes through the whole list, because I've got it broken when I take in the morning, when I take in the evening. Yeah. Oh, that's great, with the milligrams and everything else. It only took a few minutes to set up, but it saves, because every time you go to the doctors, they always want to make sure that something hasn't changed and it's up to date. Well, that saves you the frustration of just using that app. And what's nice is something happens to your phone, no problem. If you register it, fill out the registration, when you get a new phone, all I did was when I got my new Pixel, I just downloaded the app again, signed in. There's all my notes.
Yep. Yep.
They were there. So it makes life a lot easier.
I could see how that would just be handy for yourself. When you open a medicine cabinet and there's 20 pill bottles there.
Yeah, right. It's 9 a.m. What do I take?
Yeah. Plus, I have friends that even my wife has a bunch of different pills she takes. And so she had got one of those organizers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I got.
Every day and morning, afternoon. And yeah.
Yep.
So it's like once a week, we got to fill out and do all next week's pills.
Yes. I did it better. I wound up doing getting two of them because I take some pills in the morning and then some at night. So the smaller one sits on top of it. That's my night one. The bottom one is full. So I can fill it up for 2 weeks. So if I'm doing the pain, because nothing worse. You're sitting there trying to do all this stuff. And, you know, if you drop them, pain to buck.
Yeah, the worst part for me is the cats want to help.
Yeah. And heaven forbid you drop one, because a cat will eat it real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was filling my soda bottle this morning, and I dropped a cap. Yeah. And the cat jumped right on it. No, you can't eat that.
you can try.
Yeah.
Right? And, but you buy them a toy, they don't want to have anything to do with
it. But the box it came in, maybe.
Yeah, right. They'll play with the box.
Or when Matthew brings the dog over, they disappear. But if a dog toy stays behind, he'll play with it. Because the dog plays with the cat toys and tries to eat the cat food.
Yes, of course. Of course. The cats drag the cat food bowl out into the middle of the floor. So if I'm going through the kitchen late at night without the light on, I'll just knock it everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
that's an awful, awful big bowl. That looks pretty empty there, boy. You better fill it up.
I can see the bottom in that one corner. It's empty. Yeah.
Well, I've got three Yorkies, and
the peppermint patties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and you get them these chew toys.
Yeah.
And they'll sit there and play with them. But yeah, heaven forbid I use, you know, you go to say like Home Depot or one of these places, and you get the door wedges.
Yeah.
So it'll keep the door open when you get windows. Because I've got, my house was built in 1928. So when I open up the windows in that, sometimes you all of a sudden hear a door go bam and it closes it real tight. Well, I got these rubber door stops. Yeah. To keep it open.
I saw a meme with a cat using the springy thing on the doorstop.
Yeah.
When you were a little kid, you did that yourself, and the cat likes it, too.
Here they got all these other chew toys, but if I take that door wedge and forget to pick it up, all of a sudden I go over to their bed, and one of them's got it in the bed, and they're chewing on it.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, wait a minute. You got a whole bin full of toys.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And they got to pick on that.
The only toys our cats will consistently play with are the catnip fish. You know, the fish that you can put catnip in? Even if they don't have catnip in them, they don't care. They'll play with those all day long. That's it. Every other toy you give them, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, my one dog, though, she loves coming into the hammer room. She's got to sit up on my lap. She's getting like your cats. She's got to sit there and look at everything going on and, you know, be nosy. Yeah, it's like, no, I don't mind you up here. Just settle down. And then she's got to get, and if she hears any noises, she's looking stuff around or hearing people talk. You know, she's quick. Where's that coming from? Where's that coming from?
Yep. Our cat will, one of my cats will sleep next to me at the keyboard, sleep on the table next to the keyboard. Every once in a while, she'll wake up, she'll reach over with a claw and drag my hand over to pet her. So I'm typing away, and all of a sudden, I guess I'm taking a break now.
If I got a coffee cup, my coffee cup up on the table, she's always straining, and now she's gotten to where she likes the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, dog.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you put cream in your coffee?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's the cream. It's not so much the coffee. I've got pictures of our dogs, not the cats so much, but our dogs drinking the coffee. When he lays out in the backyard and takes a cup of coffee with her, puts it on a stool.
Mm-hmm.
They're big dogs, so they don't sound like they have to get up to do it.
Just bend over
and drink out of the cup. So hey, listen, you can give us a call. I know it's a beautiful day. You're out doing whatever it is.
Yeah,
you're
taking advantage. It's not too hot,
not too cold.
I was so upset last weekend. I didn't get all my errands finished on Saturday.
I'm sorry.
So I had to do them on Sunday. And it was a perfect day for flying.
Yeah.
No wind, not too hot.
Oh, it was,
but I had to get my errands done because I didn't know how many stores would be open on Monday.
Right.
I never got to go flying.
I'm so sorry.
So now today's too windy. Tomorrow's going to be wet and rainy. Maybe next weekend?
Maybe. You need a big indoor place.
Yeah.
There's got to be one in town.
The couple of the sports centers will have... like one of the gym areas.
Right.
You can fly your indoor planes.
You need like the War Memorial.
Something like that, yeah.
There you go.
Memorial.
We used to be able to go there for free when it wasn't being used. And then they decided, $10 a person.
Oh, no. That's too bad. Oh, I get that they need the money, but it's still...
Well, insurance.
It's insurance and lights and heat. I get all of that. I do.
Well, you're open anyway, but nobody booked this half of the facility. So it's going to be staying there empty. Okay,
the insurance, yeah.
Yeah.
That's always the thing because folks are so happy.
Yeah.
You know, something happens. Oh, it's all right.
One of the other features of Android 11, which has actually been around for a while, but I guess now it's official, is you can now, of course, there's always been a share icon. So you can email something or text it or put it in Keep or whatever you want to do with it. Now one of the choices will be nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's been there. It's just apparently wasn't official. But now I can say, oh, I want to share this with Dave. I can say nearby. And if our phones are close enough.
Yep.
And
well, that's been on there for a while.
Yeah. And they have near field communication.
Yep.
It'll now send that thing to you.
Yeah, you can sit there and just swipe it off to you.
But the difference now is it works with everything.
No. Oh, okay.
So it used to work with some things, I guess. Now it works with everything.
Apple has that, and they call it AirDrop.
Right.
And in the new phones that have the ultra-wideband chip in it, you can point your phone at a person, and it knows it's one person versus the person standing next to them.
Nice.
Which is kind of handy. So you don't even have to pick the icon you want to send it to.
Huh.
First world problems. I've first got two people problems. On, two icons on here. Which one do
yeah,
I send
right,
it to?
Right, right, right.
Yeah. That could be problematic, too, if you send the wrong, one.
Oh, I've had that happen to me. Where were we? We were at one of the outdoor concerts at the Parenton Shell, I kept getting, somebody wants to send a picture to you. Somebody wants to send a picture to you. Somebody wants to send a picture to you. My phone is named Steve's phone.
Yeah.
So I yelled out, wrong Steve, and turned that feature off.
Yeah, right.
Right. Should have, see what pictures said.
My icon has a picture of me on it. They should have known it was the wrong Steve.
Well, they're tiny little pictures, and if it was another gray-haired, gray-bearded person,
they're not, or they weren't paying attention.
Or they, yeah, right.
Quick look down and,
where were you?
At the Parenton Rec Center.
Oh, okay. Probably wasn't some drunk sports fan then.
Probably not.
Although you never know. The new features are actually pretty nice in Android 11. And you're right. They're stealing stuff from Apple. Apple's stealing stuff from them. So there's the idea is that they will all have parity.
Yeah.
At some point.
The phones are so full, even the OSs are so full featured now. Trying to come up with a new feature to put in the next version to make you get it, it's got to be rough.
Well, that's
they don't know what features we want. Was that? I think that was a famous Steve Jobs quote. He doesn't do focus groups because people don't know what features they want until they tell them.
Right, right. And it's exactly right. And they'll say they want a feature that they really don't want because it sounds cool at the moment.
Yeah.
But you'll never actually use it, whereas something you never would have thought of, you'll use every day.
Have you been watching, do you watch The Boys on Amazon?
I haven't seen the second season yet.
There's one scene that doesn't give away many spoilers. They're doing a focus group to try to decide what to call the super terrorists. And super terrorist is the leading guy. But Homelander, the star of the show, the hero, wants it to be called super villain.
Oh.
But the focus group picks super terrorist. And he's really, really mad. Carl Urban in that show is so not Dr. McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's almost Judge Dredd.
Yeah. And the kind of language they get away with on Amazon. Is that normal New Zealand language?
Right. You're asking a guy who's not shockingly a native New Zealander. But yeah, it's All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887. It's 30 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Vendray.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And, July and August. Oh, yeah, we've got all right. We've got those
yeah, we got a couple folks that texted in. And it says, good afternoon, Kate here. I'm getting this on my laptop, Windows 10 Esprit. We can't sign into your account. This problem can be fixed by signing out of your account and then signing back in. The problem is that I'm not sure which account it is referring to.
Well, it should be saying on the screen which account it is. There should be a name.
By the name,
if
yeah.
If it says Windows account, then it would be the Windows account on the computer you're logged into.
Right. When you
which is interesting, because if it can't log in and it's telling you to log out, you have to be logged in order to log out.
Yeah, well, that. But there should be a logout button. Once you sign out, it should come back up with the same information that it always comes up with. So when you first turn it on, it should come up with it may be that it logs itself in automatically. In that case, it should do that again. But if it comes back up, it should come up with at least one or more names and pictures on the screen. You pick the one you want.
Well, I think she's texting me right back right now. It says, nope, it's not saying which account.
Well, even so, when you log off, is there a log off button? This really should be
in that dialog box, maybe.
Right. There should be a log off button, a sign out button. And then you should be able to...
Have to wait for text to be back.
No,
or, tell you what...
In the meantime, let me say thank you, Scotty. Scotty texted in to wish me a happy birthday, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Scotty.
We got one more. This is from Scott O'Toole. Hey, guys, how can I find on my ThinkPad E485 how to use my Windows 10 or a good video on YouTube to help me maximize the usage of this OS? Thanks, Scotty O'Toole Handyman.
Right.
Well, there's a plethora of Windows 10 books around from dozens of reputable authors. I would almost suggest going to the library and checking a few out before you decide which one you want to buy.
Right. In terms of videos, the easiest way to find good YouTube videos is to, in this particular case, say how to use Windows 10 in Google. Google how to use Windows 10. And then across the top, you'll see a series of choices, one of which is videos. Click on that, and you'll see a bunch of videos. The first one I'm seeing is the Windows 10 Beginner's Guide by Tech Gumbo. There's a Windows 10 Tutorial for Beginners by Online Training for Everyone. So there's a bunch of them. There's approximately 290 million of them. about 290 million results.
Yeah. For books, there's the traditional Dummies series, Missing Manual series, Beginner's Guide series. So there's a lot of help available.
Yeah. And you may also find in that same search how to use Windows 10, across the top you can click on videos, or if you click on more, you will see books. And then you will see the books, including Windows 10 for Dummies, Windows 10 Step-by-Step, Windows 10 for Seniors for Dummies, Windows 10 The Missing Manual, Easy Windows 10, et cetera, et cetera. So there's just a bunch of them on there. The easiest way to find them is to look at Google. And all of these are available on books.google.com, and you'll be able to preview them as well as buy them.
And there it is, Rochester Tech Age. We have Joel coming up next from Tech Age as a question. Hosted at the JCC, they have a lot of free classes you can take as well. Free and paid.
The other thing, too, is if he's gotten Windows 10 and doesn't like all those panels and all that stuff, he's used to the older Windows, say, 7 or 8, you can always just install Classic Menus. And Classic Menus is an app that you put or a program that you put on your computer, and it takes that Windows 10 look and feel of all these panels and all that stuff back to the original, say, Windows 7, where you've got the button normally down the lower left-hand corner, you click on it, and it opens up that preview panel on your left-hand side, and it looks
usually like all the sliding panels will come on a touch screen, but we've seen people accidentally set their desktop computer to all those sliding panels.
Right. And Joel from Pittsburgh had a question for Steve, which he wants to get a new iMac. Should he wait for Apple Silicon?
That is the big question, of course.
Thanks for asking it, Joel. Yeah.
You may not have to wait too long. Apple has an event coming up on the 15th. Traditionally, in September is the iPhone event, but we don't know if they're going to actually release the iPhone this year. There's a lot of rumors that they won't be, and so that could be something happening. But the rumors are saying that we're going to get a 14-inch MacBook Pro. Replacing the 13-inch that we have now, like the 16-inch replaced the 15 a couple of years ago, and so that is something to look forward to see if they release that. The big question is how well is Apple Silicon going to perform compared to the Intel versions, and we don't expect any dramatic lowering of performance. That would be, you know, bad for Apple to release slower machines. So they're at least going to be as fast as the current models or faster. What are the prices going to be like is the big question, since they don't have to pay Intel now anymore. It's all their own internal engineering. So it's sort of that interesting thing. If you need a new computer now, you might as well buy one now. But if you can wait, there's always a better machine coming is the problem. So no matter how long you wait, there's going to be a better machine coming.
Right.
Somebody else texted in, after you install Windows 10, it often logs in as an account you set up during the install.
Yeah.
But it logs you in and locks, so it could be looking for that.
Right. But the point is, if you do a log out, if you use the sign out button
from the start menu,
you should be able to then get a fresh start and log into any one of your accounts.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter which one it is. Also,
people will only have their one account.
Right.
Yeah.
Apple, the event is something about time. I forget what the name is.
Time Flies is the nickname. And the
icon.
Icon, logo. Thank you. The icon logo on the invitation is an AR object.
Right.
And so if you point to it with your iPhone camera, it will open an AR space and do some interesting things. I keep forgetting to do that. Maybe I'll do it right now.
Maybe you'll do it right now. But the thing is that therefore people are speculating that it's really going to focus on the Apple Watch, the next edition of the Apple Watch, rather than a new iPhone or a new device.
Because back in June at the developer conference, they already talked about the new OSs.
Right.
And there's some, you know, cool new features coming in the new OSs. And so new hardware could lead to even cooler new features.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We also have Will from Hampton, Virginia, that texted in, says, "Hey, Nick, have a happy and blessed birthday."
Well, thank you. Is that Will? Thank you, Will.
Will from Hampton, Virginia.
I like Hampton, Virginia, actually. Thank you. I have had so far a great birthday. My daughter, when she was young, tried to scam us out of a birthday week, which later on became a birthday month.
I have a friend whose daughter does that now.
Yeah. And well, she's still doing it. I mean, it hasn't gone to the birthday year.
Yeah.
Even she can't figure out how to manage that one. But it's the birthday month, and I'm thinking that's not a bad idea at all, really.
Yep.
All right, here we go, folks. It says, I did what you suggest. Hit the sign-in button, or the sign-out button, then it was fixed. Have no idea what I signed out of, but I'm happy now. Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Probably signed out of the Windows account.
Our pleasure, Kate. We're delighted to help. All right, we should probably go to the phones and talk to Andy from Greece, New York, who's patiently waiting. You are patiently waiting, aren't you, Andy?
Oh, of course.
Okay, then put him back on hold. No, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
I encountered an interesting situation with Zoom. I have no idea why, and I'm going to ask you guys if you've heard of anything along this line. But you had a telemedicine meeting set up with a doctor. U of R now doesn't give you the meeting ID and the login. You go into My Chart and you click the button that says start my meeting.
Yeah.
And you get a black screen with a white lettering on it says connecting in a little wheel. And it says you have to wait at least 15 minutes into your scheduled meeting because the doctor could be running behind. So I'm sitting there waiting. I'm on my Chromebook. My phone rings. It's my doctor. I said, where are you? I'm sitting here waiting for you to connect because it says connecting. Obviously, it isn't. And so she was getting all flustered and was going to call tech support. I said, well, let me try something. I don't know why I did this, but I logged out of My Chart, opened Zoom on my computer, got to the login screen on Zoom, and then minimized it, went back into My Chart and said connect, and she was there instantly.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Any ideas why? I mean, I'm not going to argue with success.
Right.
I'm certainly not going to count the teeth of the gift horse, but any idea why that worked?
It sounds like it worked because whatever link they sent you made the assumption that you would be logged in. Although so many people don't have to log into Zoom.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
I don't have a login. All I did was bring up the opening screen that says put in your meeting ID. And all I could think of is maybe it wasn't asking it to do that. So by having it open in the background, it was able to connect and bounce, put me right in.
Quite often I notice with Zoom is when you try to open a Zoom meeting, it will, depending on your security permissions, it will ask for permission to download the Zoom stub so that it can install the Zoom app.
And yeah, it may not have seen the Zoom stub in your system.
Yeah.
So it was waiting, but when you loaded it by hand, then the stub was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. That's a reasonable explanation.
Yep.
I didn't think I had a Harry Potter wand or anything.
Yeah.
You're right.
Now, hopefully it wasn't the problem I had this week.
Status, so.
Right.
Yeah, I had a mistake I made with the Apple Cider meeting on Wednesday. I opened the board meeting Zoom link instead of the general meeting Zoom link, and so no one else could get in because it wasn't the board meeting, it was the general meeting. But theoretically, they would have sent you the right link.
Right.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
Well, and it was the right link because it did work afterwards. Anytime, by the way, you can go to downdetector.com/status/Zoom. And it will tell you if there are problems connecting to Zoom.
Okay, cool. Downdetector.com.
Downdetector.
Downdetector.com.
Yeah, downdetector.com/status/Zoom. And, of course, that's all lowercase.
They track all sorts of different services if they're down or not. And you can report if they're down yourself as well.
Right.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll go back to doing some home remodeling here and listen to you guys talk.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, we had another texter text in and says, happy birthday, Nick. I didn't know you and I share the same birthday. Charlie from Henrietta.
Mine's September 10th. If yours is today, we're close enough.
Yep.
Like the three of us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, four of us counting the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Rob is the oddball.
Right.
and his birthday's not near us either.
Right. But I'm yes, the soundbite started in September. My birthday's in September. Dave's birthday's in September. Steve's birthday's in September. We're all September babies. You're next Saturday.
Yeah. No, next Sunday.
Well, you're next Sunday. Steve's next Saturday.
Yeah.
Steve's is actually on the show day.
Yeah, but I've got YouTube beat, though. I had such a weird but unique birthday gift my first year.
What happened?
My mother presented me with a sister.
Terrific!
My sister and I are born on the same day.
1 year apart.
1 year apart.
That's funny.
And 2 minutes apart.
Wow.
I was born at 2:40. She was born at 2:42.
Wow. Clockwork.
Good Irish Catholics.
Good Irish Catholics. Get a television.
Well, my grandmother had 19.
January's so cold.
Yeah.
Or one heck of a Christmas party.
Yeah. It was either Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah.
Same now, with me.
Did you realize that you are 2,209,294,237 seconds old as of this second? So if I refresh, it now went up.
Wow.
I have a spreadsheet. Okay,
seriously, you need to get out more.
2.2 billion seconds old. I'm only 1.7 billion seconds old, so I haven't caught up to that yet.
Puppy. He's somewhere in the 11 trillion, yeah. I think.
Somewhere where you
I
are.
Told you. You sit there and say, I'm older than dirt. I told you. No, I invented dirt.
Yeah, so Rob had his 40th birthday earlier this year.
Puppy.
You've got 70, so you're both on milestone years.
Yeah. You guys aren't.
I'm not. Well, I was 55 last year, so that's, you know, the a round number. And
three,
I had a friend.
There's nothing round about 55.
That's true.
Three
had
more for me.
Speed limit. A friend of mine always does themes for her birthdays, and so her 55th birthday was driving themes.
Sure, of course.
Got to play Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
Turned 75 in three.
All right, let me
read this. That's a milestone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that is a milestone. Let me read the news here. July and August had relatively stable patch Tuesdays. Not so this month. Here's the tip of the iceberg. The bugs that cropped up within a day of release. Although it's still too early to throw up your hands and peremptorily pass on September crop. I got to stop typing this stuff. I assure you that there is no joy in Patchville. Right out of the gate, many folks running Bitdefender on Windows 10 version 1903 or 1909 were treated to a warning that it was blocked when trying to install this month's cumulative update. Recommended solution? Disable Bitdefender during the update installation or define an exception. Windows 10 version 2004 customers who actually use WSL2, the Windows subsystem for Linux version 2, get a nasty surprise after installing the September cumulative update and restart the updated systems, throw an element not found error. The only known solution, uninstall the update. Yeah, if you're using the decade-old Paint Shop Pro on Windows 10 version 2004, expect glacial performance. Nobody knows why, but it might be the preview handler for images that's installed by Paint Shop Pro. In the past, such handlers were the cause of Explorer crashes or tough Explorer actions. Many folks online report the usual rates. Range of problems. X doesn't install, throws a blue screen, start menu doesn't work, search doesn't work. The list goes on and on. If you have one of those specific problems, try scanning the usual monthly Reddit thread or the Microsoft Answers forum to see whether anybody else has encountered the problem. More importantly, whether anybody else has solved it. Long-standing bugs continue to show up, including the temporary user profile bug that leads to missing files, long logon problems like Katie had, and disappearing desktop icons. The evergreen ESENT 642 warning bug is still with us. The optimized drives defrag date bug has been fixed, but the bug that trims hard drives persists. Some of the Intel microcode updates may be offered to machines that don't need them or can't use them. As usual, the official Windows release information list covers very few of the known problems. The Windows installer is now suddenly, miraculously capable of updating itself without a separate servicing stack update. The change only affects folks who install cumulative updates manually or use one of the Microsoft update management tools like the automatic updater that, well, everybody uses. Of course, I remind you that if you install you install this month's patches at your own risk, as you do every month. Crowdsourcing works. I expect we'll see fixes for Bitdefender and the Windows subsystem for Linux bugs in short order. As for the others, it's hard to say. Good luck. As Red Skelton used to say, good luck and God bless.
Oh, it was going viral for me because this one forum that I'm on, I mean, with these updates.
Before you get there, yeah. If you install the latest patches, tell us how it went. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or text us at 585-205-8887.
Yeah, no, that's you could tell it when that came out that people were surprised because we've got this one program that we use and it kind of starts two other programs and, you know, it's working fine for literally hundreds of folks. And I went to open up the one email account and it's just this whole page. Normally I have maybe half a page. But there's literally page after page after page. They're complaining that my stupid Windows machine did this update. Now this program that's been working for so long, now is it? How the heck do I fix it? And a number of folks just got in there and said, you know, uninstall the patch. go back and undo it. And that became the hot thing to do for the day, was to go back there and uninstall the patch if you were having problems getting this program that was controlling not only your computer, but your ham radio and doing this other stuff. And yeah, and it was just that one simple program that did need was in there. Another guy did some research, and it was one of the add-ons that don't really need it, but it tried to throw it in there anyways and messed everything else up.
Yep. One of the things that surprises me is Google is working on letting Chromebooks run Android, run Windows programs. Mm-hmm. You can already run Chrome programs, Android programs, and Linux programs, and now they want to add Windows programs. I get it. If you become the universal operating system, you know, why buy anything but a Chromebook when you can run everything except Mac programs?
Yep.
But
and on the Mac, you can run all the other operating systems too.
Right. This will be native, right? These all mm-hmm. run essentially native. So it's not like you're running a virtual machine.
Yeah.
You're actually running the code natively.
And that's one of the fears on Apple Silicon is it won't be x86 based, so will we still have virtual machines?
Right. But in terms of Chromebook, the idea is they're making it the universal device.
Yeah.
You can run pretty much anything you want on it. But I guess it's okay if you're just running a program, you're not really running the operating system. So Microsoft doesn't have the chance to screw up your computer.
Yeah. There is something weird going on in Microsoft's update world again, differently.
Shocking.
Now. Yeah. There was a critical vulnerability discovered way earlier this year, apparently, because the CVE number is 1400 and now we're in the 14,000s. In the high efficiency video codec, the HEVC, also known as H.265. And in earlier versions of Windows 10, that was a pay upgrade of 99 cents to get that codec. GoPro uses it. A lot of newer cameras use it. It's much more efficient than JPEG, so you get a better quality photo at a smaller size than JPEG. The new iPhones use it. I'm assuming the new Android phones use it too. And so if you want to display those images on your computer, you need the HEVC codec. And so Microsoft released this vulnerability. The update is only in the Microsoft Store.
Great.
It will not come in through the normal update channels.
Terrific. Good to know. Good to know. All right. That music tells me you've wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense. But don't go away. We've got a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming up. That's right. It's Soundbites. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco. And with you, we're going to take a slightly longer break. I personally am going to take a bio break, TMI. And then we'll be back. So don't go away. We've got a whole lot more of this show coming along. You can give us a call at 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, or the new text line, 585-205-8887. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That must mean it's Soundbites.
Could be.
Right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. We had a call from a fellow a couple of weeks ago who also texted us a few weeks ago about having problems getting coax over, getting Ethernet over power line.
Yep.
He replaced it with a coax, So multimedia over coax, which you could also, if you ran coax, you could also over on Ethernet. But and now he's getting what he expect to get to begin with, and that's good.
He may have already had coax run in his house. A lot of houses were wired for coax, so you could have cable TV in every room.
Right.
Now we're seeing more and more new building is doing Ethernet in every room, but it will still be on the wrong wall.
Yeah, but at least
it's a lot easier if it's already there.
Yeah.
You could put in a little hub and snake it around the floor or whatever.
I was always joking, if I ever had a house built, I would have six electrical outlets, three or four Ethernet outlets on every single wall of every single room, because you never know what wall you're going to want it on.
When I was first hired at RIT, in the College of Business, not at RIT. I moved from another department. When I first moved, they gave me an office, and I looked around and I thought, wow, this is a really beautiful office. And then I realized the most important part of it. 8 Ethernet plugs on one wall, 6 on the other.
Yep.
I thought, okay, mm-hmm. I can live with this room.
That used to be a lab.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was pretty happy. That made me happy.
Well, nowadays, like Steve was saying, most new homes, because a lot of them are doing the spray-in insulation and that type of stuff, when the electrician is running the outlet, usually they're putting another box right next to it, just as a cover on it.
Somebody's beeping.
Silent.
You know, they're putting an extra plate next to an extra box right next to it, and that's all set with Cat 5.
I really love it when we go to wire someone's office and there's an empty conduit with a pull string.
Oh.
Somebody thought ahead. Thank you, whoever that was.
Yeah, and then you added your own pull string to come through with the old pull string. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Because we've run into a few of those offices where you cut through the wall and all you see is insulation. So you're never going to be able to run a wire through it.
That's exactly right. And nowadays, you know, in most houses, frankly, the walls are thin enough that they're not providing any sort of barrier to Ethernet. But if you've got an older house like I have, we have walls full of chicken wire.
Lath and plaster.
Yep. You're really not going to
Well, that's why I had to on to get Ethernet, you know, on that upstairs. I got Cat 6 cable. Outdoor Cat 6 cable.
Right.
Because it's an extra installation, and I literally had to go out of the basement, up to the second story, and in there in two different places.
Right.
And now I have, you know internet service up there, which is great because I just put one of those Orb stations for the wireless stuff, and
now you're good.
Nope.
Yeah.
The problem generally is that when you have your service brought into the house, it comes in on one wall at one end of the house.
Right.
And so you can never get a clean signal all the way to the other end of the house.
When Greenlight came in, I was very lucky. They came in when I had cable put in, I had them bring it in to the computer room, which is in the middle of the second floor.
Yep.
So when they brought the green light in, I had them come through the same hole. And so everything is in the middle of the house, literally from attic to basement.
Which is exactly where you want your Wi-Fi router.
Where you want it.
Well, I just, it was funny because, you know, I've got wireless service in our computer room. And it was okay. But we got a different TV because our one died. And, of course, it's wireless. I look at, you know, when you set it all up and check the condition, it says, yeah, it's sort of good.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and ordered another Orb extension because it's literally just downstairs in the basement, not just over a little bit. But so for some reason, all the chicken wire and everything else, lath and plaster in that room, it creates a Faraday cage. So I wound up putting the Orb in there. And all of a sudden, I went from so-so to very good, excellent.
Yep. Well, like I said before, you can. There are a couple of phone apps.
Mm-hmm.
The one for Android is called Wi-Fi Analyzer, and I believe the same one is available for iOS.
And there's a analyzer built into the airport utility.
And there's, yeah, yeah. But this lets you walk around the house and see where your dead spots are.
Yep.
And so it makes it much easier to use your, to see where to put things and
right.
where and you may need an extender, et cetera, et cetera.
A lot of the new routers that are using their own app for setup do that while you're setting it up too, which is nice.
Right, right. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Joel from Pittsford, New York.
Hello, guys, and happy birthday, Nick.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I have a question on creating a ringtone. I am a Bob Seger fan, and I have the old-time rock and roll song in M4A format. I would like to trim it so that I get the first 8 bars and use that as a ringtone on my iPhone, and I'm looking for help in how to do that.
Well, there's a ringtone store available where you can buy them.
Okay.
But yeah, there are a bunch of different apps you can use to make ringtones. I just found a website called Ringtone Maker.
What's that other one?
Yeah, if you search for Ringtone Maker, you'll find a bunch of different apps to do it with.
Zedge, Zedge. I think Zedge will work both. It's an app, and it works for both Android and iPhones.
So they have their own ringtones that they offered, ringtones and wallpapers.
In addition, the QuickTime player will trim M4A audio files.
Trim it, yeah, but will it turn it into a ringtone, which is a different...
Right.
It's a different codec, I think.
Does WavePad Audio Editor do that?
Let's take a look here.
Right, because ringtone is a specific...
Yeah.
That's right. On the Android, you can pretty much set your ringtone to any audio file. But
ringtone has its own command.
Ringtone is M4R.
M4R, yeah.
Hold on. To convert a ringtone from M4A...
Oh, just rename it.
You apparently only have to rename the M4A file to M4R.
Yeah. So QuickTime.
Yeah, but I also want to trim it so I get only the first 4 bars.
Yeah,
first 8 bars.
The QuickTime player will let you trim audio files as well.
So you can trim the M4A in QuickTime, and then you can rename it to M4R, and it's a ringtone.
QuickTime on the PC?
Oh, on a Mac. No, you're on
yeah.
Windows.
Yeah, somebody said use Audacity.
Audacity.
Yeah, any
if you're
any
on a PC, Audacity will do that for you.
Yeah. Any decent audio editor will let you trim an audio file.
Right.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
Okie doke. Yep. Good luck.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Audacity, Lord in heaven, I love Audacity.
Yep.
I love it. I use it every week. Here's a shameless plug. The computer minute that I do for this station every week is I edited it at home. I record and edit it at home using Audacity.
Yep,
on my Linux box.
I do the podcast with Audacity.
Yep.
Okay, we got another text question. It says, I have an iPhone 5S a couple of years ago. I replaced the battery and it worked well. Couple of months ago, the battery started to run down by early evening. But in the past 2 weeks, it has returned to lasting well into the late night. Has there been an update to the operating system to correct a battery drain issue?
It may have been the opposite. An update to the OS will drain your battery faster for the first few days, because it's often re-indexing things, resetting up databases, and then it evens itself out again after a few days, typically. And every now and then, you can go into your settings and look at the battery health, and it will tell you what your battery health is, and it will tell you what apps are using the battery a lot. So maybe you had Skype, you forgot it was running in the background. Always waiting for a phone call, that is.
Right.
And so that can drain your battery faster, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of things you can find in the battery health setting to see what might be draining your battery.
The other thing you can do is Batteries used to have what they called a memory.
Yeah, on the old nickel cadmium days.
Right. Nowadays, they have kind of something similar, but you can fix it by letting the battery drain completely, recharging it completely, drain completely, recharge completely.
Recondition.
Do that about 3 or 4 times, and it will recondition the battery to as close to new as it can get. Obviously, an old battery is an old battery. But also, you should not let your, except for when you're reconditioning it, you should not let your battery drain to zero, and you should not charge it to 100%, depending on the charging circuitry in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them don't stop when it hits 100%. It keeps trying to charge it. That's a problem. It strains, it stresses the battery and shortens the battery life. So if you recharge it like 15%, and stop at 98% or 99%, you'll get much longer and healthier battery life than you will charging.
Yeah, there's an interesting feature in the iPhone where it watches your usage and your charging patterns. And so most people plug it in to charge it overnight. Well, it'll be done charging in a couple hours. So you don't want to leave it charging all night long. So what it does is it stops charging about 70-80%. And then about an hour before you normally get up in the morning, it'll top itself off.
That's nice.
But if you happen to get up in the middle of the night to look at your phone, you'll notice that it's not charged all the way. Well, it's been on there for 4 hours. It should have been charged by now. Well, no, it's trying to be smart about it.
Yeah, that's a feature, not a bug.
Yeah, you don't need it charged yet because you're getting up too early.
Usually it only goes to like 98 or 99%.
Yep.
Yeah, and the overnight.
Yeah, and quite frequently there's a... another safety feature that if your battery is like above 90%, it may not charge at all because all those little micro cycles. So batteries are rated on how many charging cycles they have. From 0 to 100 is one cycle.
Right.
So if you go to 90% and then charge it again, that's a tenth of a cycle.
Right.
If you do that 10 times, that's a whole cycle.
Right.
So what a lot of chargers will do is they won't charge it above 90%. Until you get below 90, then it will start charging it again because it doesn't want to wear it out with all those microcycles.
Right, but if you continually are charging your battery, again, depending on which phone you have.
Yep. And which charger, mm-hmm. the manufacturer charger is a big...
You can be stressing the battery. So, I used to be, with my old phone, I would throw it on the wireless charger overnight, leave it there all night long, and the battery didn't last as the life of the battery, that is to say, the phone itself died.
Yep,
a year at least sooner than I thought it should have. With this phone, I am a little more careful. I usually only hit 98 or 99%. I'm actually very good at that. Same thing with my watch, and same thing, in fact, with my Chromebook. And so, I'm hoping to get much longer battery life out of it.
Yeah, like we've said before, that's the biggest issue all these phone people are having, is the batteries don't last long enough. And I'm still hoping that the 5 comes out with, like they said, more battery life.
Yeah.
Because now that's going to be the new trend. I firmly believe the trend and focus is going to be, you know, like we were talking about before, so many manufacturers, both PC and the Mac side, are trying to find innovative things to get folks to buy their product.
And they can't make the phones that much thinner because they're already running into structural weaknesses and it bends when you put it in your back pocket.
Right. And there's not that many more features that they can add on. But the one thing folks are doing more and more nowadays is using their phone all the time.
Right.
So if you don't have a long enough battery, you know, that's going to be an issue. If you want to watch a movie and something and it's sucking that battery on down, you know, having a little bit thicker battery and something that lasts, on into the evening, you're golden. And it's going to be a selling feature for them.
Was it some of the Samsung phones have a charging feature where you can put your phone on someone else's and suck some of their battery down?
Yeah.
That's a nice feature, but who would ever give up some of their battery life to someone? You must really like that person to give up some of your battery life to them.
Dads to their daughters, that's about it. The other thing is, with my Chromebook, I'm not plugged in now. I get about 10 hours of battery life out of my Chromebook. Of course, I'm only running one YouTube channel every time. So I run it 2 hours and change here. I only plug it in every 5 weeks. That means that my battery drains most of the way down.
Yep.
And then charges most of the way up. And my hope is that that will give me
longer life.
Battery life because I'm not stressing it as much.
Exactly. Going back to one of the other points that you were talking about before and other, adding features in it, I had a number of folks that, they called me during the week about their laptops. So I was telling them about Chromebooks. And they were, again, and this is not something new, it's nothing that we haven't talked about before, is they were worried, well, what about Office and that? I got to be able to do my Word document. I says, Google Docs.
There's so many free alternatives.
There's so many free things out there.
But I'm used to Microsoft Word. Okay, then you
then
can
run Office 365 and pay for it.
Yeah.
You can do that.
I told him, I says, do you do any complicated? No, it's just simple letters. I go, save yourself.
It'd be good with WordPad or TextEdit that come built into the OS.
I says, like Nick has said before, it's like driving a car. They just move the buttons around. And you'll be able to pick it up very easy. And you can do spreadsheets. Well, what about I pass it on to somebody else? I says, I guarantee you they will not have an issue reading in your rich text format, RTF. Anybody and everybody can read it, even Max. And I said, oh, one other thing, though, you're going to have to put up with. She goes, what's that? I says, you don't have to worry about updates bricking your machine like it is right now. Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
I said, well, look away.
Look, if you get a decent-sized Chromebook, I keep telling people 8 gig, maybe 32 gig at least, if not more, of your SSD
storage.
You have the ability to run Linux, which means you can run LibreOffice.
Yeah.
If you hate the idea of using Google Docs, you hate the idea of using the iCloud apps, you hate the idea of using Office 365.
You want a local app.
You want something local. You can run LibreOffice, which has every feature 99.9% of you will ever need. There will be people who have to use some specialized
boilerplate
thing that was designed only for Windows and blah 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 blah. But not most people can use that. You can use Thunderbird. You can use everything, just as you do on any other device. I use I don't use it often because I live in Google Docs, but I have used just to prove I could do it and that it worked. I have used LibreOffice on this thing, and it works great.
Yep.
It's fast, it's clean, it's great.
And wait a minute, how much did it cost you?
It cost me, hold on, let me add,
carry
the one, zero.
Okay.
And it works really good at recovering corrupted Word files, too.
Yeah, I told you that. I used to do that at RIT. This is the secret that I hid for many years from my faculty. They would come to me and say, my document is corrupted. And I would say, well, use your backup. And there would be dead silence. So I would then take their document, which we try to open it up in Word, and it just throws up its hands and says, I can't do it.
Yep. Major
so I'd
choke.
Open it up in LibreOffice. And LibreOffice would come and say, well, this 80% of the document I can read great. There's this little section I can't read, and then I can read the rest. So how about I just show you all the stuff I can read, and that'll be fine. So I would then go to somebody and say, well, I've recovered 92% of your document. Oh, my God, thank you,
They're loving you forever.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I worked hard on it.
And that's how you got your reputation as a miracle worker.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So now everybody knows that. I don't care anymore. I'm retired. So you can use LibreOffice. You can do all. And eventually now, like I said, Apple, Google is talking about also being able to run Windows programs. So you should be able to actually run real Office if, God forbid, you can't possibly not see the ribbon bar every time you boot up Word.
Somebody just texted in here. It says, here, let me read. Get up a little closer. How can you manage to monitor your battery charging 98% every day when the change in your battery Do you check it every 15 minutes, every 10 minutes, or just hope that it catches it? And then he put another comment was, Microsoft has announced that they are going to eliminate allowing you to save in RTF.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's odd because they created the RTF format.
Yeah, they did. They just don't like it because everybody uses it.
Yeah. So you don't have to buy Word.
The way I manage things to 98% is I've been doing it for years, and so I know it's like a chef who doesn't bother to set a timer because they know that, you know, they have it in their heads, mm-hmm. 10 minutes. I'm the same way with these things. I can say, okay, is it this percent? I'll check it again. Maybe it's at 91 or 92. I check it again in a couple of minutes. It's at 98. I'm done. Sometimes it's 98. Sometimes it's 99. Sometimes it's 97. I just use 98 as a placeholder. But I'm usually within 3 to 4% of 100%. And it's just a matter of I've been doing it for so long. It works for me. I do miss every once in a while and go to 100%, but, you know, once in a while is certainly better than every day or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Microsoft has enough. I'm looking for it now. They're going to stop supporting RTF.
Yeah.
They created it in the 80s.
Yeah.
What, 30, 40 years is enough?
Yeah, well, they don't like the fact that everybody uses it.
Yeah, it's because everybody, cross-platforms can read it. So they're just... All they're doing, hear me now, remember me later, is, you know, shooting themselves in the other foot so they limp equally. Yeah. Well, because everybody is still going to use that because it is such a universal and cross-platform.
Well, pretty much everything opens DocX now anyway.
That's what I was going to say. The programs don't need RTF because they can just read a native doc file and DocX files.
Right.
And DocX is just an XML, right?
Well, that's pretty much it.
That's the X.
Yes, it's DocX. And also, isn't WordPad RTF by default?
I think so.
Used to be, anyway. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ken from Webster, New York. Hi, Ken, what's up?
Hello, gentlemen. I just joined your show. I've been out trying to recondition my lawn after the summer. yeah, a complete new lawn has to go in. It's so bad.
Yeah.
My question is this. I just joined your show about 5 minutes ago, and I heard you talking about Chromebooks.
Yeah.
Why would you suggest I buy one?
Why?
No.
Where?
Oh, well, you can buy them directly online at google.com/Chromebook. You can buy them at most of the big box stores, and you can buy them direct from the, let's just call it, the world's largest online retailer.
Yeah. Well, let me interject a thought. My wife, my brother-in-law are both looking for new Chromebooks, and you can't buy them. You just can't buy them. They're told, how many millions are they backordered on? Backordered.
Oh, production problems.
Yeah. That's right. That's
so you can buy them, but they're not available.
That's right. They're not available.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So... It's nice that you're trying to get people excited about it, but when they go to buy one, they ain't going to come up with one.
All right, well, we'll take a look into that, but right now, thank you. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 30 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35, 36 minutes after the hour, up to the second, we are Sound Bites. And let me see if I can catch up on the texts here. Mark,
people have been going wild with the new text line.
Yeah. Mark from Greece says he has a thin battery, but he adds a battery case. Right, but if you got to add a battery case anyway, why can't they just give you a thicker battery?
Yeah,
you're carrying around that extra thing anyway.
Yeah,
not everybody wants a longer battery.
Right.
I can't think of too many.
Yeah. Larry says he's got a Windows 10 laptop, made a change to the battery life, and now he needs a 32-number password. Sounds like you made more changes than just some battery tweak. I don't know what you did, but it certainly sounds like you did more.
Revert to defaults?
Yeah, maybe you reset your BIOS.
Yeah.
What he called the battery management. I think you did. Go back in there and matter of fact, what I would highly suggest is if you go back into the if he did that in the BIOS, within the BIOS, you can sit there and set it back to factory default. Right. I would highly recommend when you go back into the BIOS, look for that. It's usually over on the left-hand side, and one of the menu options is set to factory default. Set it back to that, and that should alleviate the issue.
Maybe on the right-hand side.
Whichever. Right. You know, depending on the screens, the layouts now for the BIOS usually run across the top and you scroll, or some of them go down the side. They're all different nowadays.
And we were talking about Chromebooks, and a couple of people have written in and said everybody's out of them. Two things. One is I haven't been out in the last 4 months, so I don't know this. But if any of you smaller independent dealers in the area, computer dealers, have Chromebooks, call in and let us know.
Yeah, there's kind of like two things collided with the stay-at-home work orders. All the school districts started buying Chromebooks so their kids could work from home. And there's still a lot of school districts now for this new year are still trying to buy them, and they're not available.
Right. In addition, however, I'm on Amazon, and I'm seeing there's a bunch of them available. I'm looking at an Acer. They're available. I'm looking at an HP. They only have four of those left in stock, but they have them. Lenovo 13-inch Flex.
Lenovo's Chinese.
There's a dozen of those left in stock. So I'm not seeing everybody's out of them. I'm seeing that people have them.
Yeah, and the other problem is that a lot of the Chinese components are getting caught in the tariff war.
Right.
And so that's sort of
I understand
too.
Is
Acer Korean?
I think it is.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Samsung is Korean, so you might be able to get a Samsung one.
Right. So I am seeing on Amazon, I'm seeing a bunch of them that are available. So
but you may want to go to some of the local independent stores because they may have some in stock. And we always like to say shop locally anyway, but you probably get a lot better knowledge and skill set out of the local people.
Yes, you would. Yes, you absolutely
and
would.
Better support.
But I don't know of anybody locally who's selling them except the big box stores. Yeah. So if there are, please call in and let us know. I just haven't been outside the house in 5 months. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Matt from Webster, New York. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? I recently had a problem with a router. I had an older Belkin router, and I had to replace it. I mean, I've never been so impressed. I know you guys get a lot of questions and complaints about products, but I got one of these new Netgear Nighthawk. It was the AC1000 model router, and I just wanted to tell you how impressed I was with it. I mean, everything's so easy to set up. The password's right on top of the thing for the 5 gigahertz and the dual bands, and it was just such a snap easy to use and go through. You know, and, I mean, I could understand why Netgear is number one. I mean, they make really good products. I've never had an easier experience in my life. The AC1000 model, it was great.
Excellent.
And it was only like $45 too.
Yeah, right.
Make sure you look for firmware updates because Netgear had a problem a month or so ago where 100 different models and probably 1,000 different routers had critical vulnerabilities that they needed to release updates
for. It's funny you mention that because I did do that right when I got it and plugged it in. It prompted me to do that.
Most of the new routers are doing that when you set them up. For anyone else that has a router, check for firmware updates.
You should check for firmware updates once a month. Yeah. I just updated my Orbi, as a matter of fact. Make sure that you have changed the default passwords. That is super important because every bad guy knows those default passwords. So make sure you've changed those and then write them down somewhere so you do not lose them.
And turn off any WAN side management.
Right.
You don't need to manage your router when you're not at home, and that's how the bad guys get in.
Right. So, but other than that, Netgear makes some excellent products as long as you update to the latest firmware. And everybody's making it much easier to use their routers nowadays. It used to be you really needed a degree in computer science or network management.
I remember, Nick, I remember having to go into 192.168.0.1 and all that, and this just takes the guessing out of everything. It was such a breeze.
It's more work at their end because now they have to write an app. It used to be easy. You wouldn't just use a web server.
Right.
Yeah.
I still use my web server, but it still lays
those
out.
Those of us that know how. In fact, I was always mad that Apple didn't have a web server in theirs. You had to use the app. Now all the other companies are making you use an app, too.
Right. Yeah, but everybody's trying to make it easier for people because they know that everybody's their own manager now, their own sysadmin, and most people don't know how to do it.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Matt. We appreciate that. Thanks.
You guys have a great weekend. Bye now.
You too. Keep smiling. Yeah, that's an important thing. One thing we should talk about a little bit is that some Pixel 3s and 3XLs are owners, not the phones themselves, are reporting that they're seeing battery swelling. So I don't know what that's about, but it's a new thing. I haven't even checked mine yet, but because I have to take the case off, and I haven't done that yet, but I should probably do that and check it out. I will later. It doesn't seem to be causing a problem, so.
Mine neither.
Yeah. I'll do that later. But that's something for you 3 and 3XL.
It's got some lint on it.
People, pretty sure lint doesn't cause an actual problem. All right. This is a report from our friend Phil Dampier at Stop the Cap. Charter Communications, who runs Spectrum, has put DOCSIS 4, which is capable of bringing dramatically faster internet service to their Spectrum customers, on hold until 2022. There was a media communications and entertainment conference at the Bank of America on Wednesday, and Charter's chief financial officer reassured Wall Street, because they're the only ones who matter, that Charter has no plans to increase investment in its broadband service. Charter is in absolutely no hurry to deliver DOCSIS 4 faster internet to its customers. If you're on Spectrum, that's all you're going to get.
There's no rush.
Charter's last significant upgrade was rolling out DOCSIS 3.1, which is a project that ended in 2018. Since then, Charter has done nothing to raise internet speeds for any of its customers. Spectrum residential customers in some areas of the country receive 100 meg up and 10 meg down. Others receive 200 up and 10 meg down for the same price. So if you're only getting 100, you're not at the top tier for the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Spectrum has dragged its feet on upgrading the remaining half of its footprint to 200 megabit per second service, and there's no sign if it'll upgrade the rest, much less when. At the same time, Charter is petitioning the FCC to end the pro-consumer deal that was required as part of the 2016 merger between Charter and Time Warner Cable.
And the
Bright House Networks.
And the lawsuit the PSC brought for not fulfilling their obligations under the first agreement. And then they said in the second agreement, okay, we'll really do it now.
Right.
And by really doing it now, they're trying to get out of it.
Right. and the thing that they're trying to get out of particularly is data caps.
Yeah.
They were told no data caps, and now they're saying, oh, we must have them. We must. What was one of the things they said? People want them.
Right.
Nobody wants them.
I'd like to, do a survey or get a list of all the folks that really want it.
And we just showed how everyone working from home, the networks still worked.
Yes.
Suddenly, especially home internet services that aren't designed for that type of use, got that type of use and it was fine.
Yep.
For the most part.
Yeah.
At any rate, so Charter says, and of course, let's remember, Charter's customers are the shareholders.
Yep.
We are simply the product they present to those shareholders. From that point of view, the fact that Charter has no plans to announce any new spending on DOCSIS 4 for 2 years, maybe you're leaving the customers with crappy internet speed and that, well, who cares?
Yeah, you're not
spending.
And
that's why more and more are going low to green light.
When they can, yeah.
When they can. And that's the other thing. Yeah. The Charter's only competition is from those handful of independent fiber builders.
Yeah.
Like Greenlight.
Yeah, and he's expanding like crazy. Not only here in Rochester, but in Buffalo.
Niagara.
They are capital constrained, which limits the pace of expansion. More importantly here, they're saddled with onerous legacy and grandfathered restrictions on things like right-of-way.
Yeah.
So those are the reasons that they're not expanding everywhere instantly. They've got to buy right-of-way from Spectrum, Charter, and Frontier.
But so, it also takes time. Just they've only got so many as far as a crew.
And everything was shut down for so long. Yeah, I was on the second quarter of 2020 installation list for Greenlight, and that got pushed off.
Yeah.
I think I read somewhere that they're expecting everyone to get pushed off probably about a year.
Yeah, yeah. Are you happy with your internet speed? Yeah. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. No. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or text us at 585-205-8887.
Now may be the time to buy Charter stock. If they've stopped spending money on growing their infrastructure, but they're still raking in tons of cash from customers, that should make their stock go up.
Yes, it should. And that's the whole point.
Yep.
Well, that's screw the customer.
Yeah.
Let's make because customer's really just product, let's make the investors happy because that's our customer.
And that's where more and more folks are starting to cut the cord. Like I did, over 4 or 5 years now, and going to these online services because I get everything that I had with back then Time Warner, I get on Sling, and I'm only paying $30 a month.
But if you get all of your services that way and that the Charter can institute data caps, how many days of movies are you going to get before you hit your data cap, and now it's going to cost you more?
Yeah.
So you're a Greenlight customer. You have nothing to worry about. They have no data caps. They don't care what you do on their network. Right. You're paying for that, and you're done.
Yeah.
But Charter cares because they can't figure out a way to make more money any faster than to charge you for data caps.
Yeah.
They did just offer a lower-priced half-the-speed deal. So was it 50 meg for $30 a month? Which, okay, for the only one person in the house, you may not need faster internet. But I just looked, and their stock is going for $600 a share.
Yep.
And their company is greatly overvalued.
Yes, it is.
At $600 a share.
Well, and that's part of their problem. If it's greatly overvalued, they have to figure out a way to keep investors investing.
Yep. Yeah, because...
And by putting in data caps, they know that they'll make even more money, so investors will keep investing. It's not about you. Nobody cares about you.
Nope.
It's all about the investors.
So somebody posted a meme about that Wall Street's doing great, but the rest of the economy is the trash heap behind Wall Street's bank.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We're just an end product.
Yeah.
As I've said many times, the stock market is not the economy. It is not. And but you know what's important to somebody like Spectrum, or I guess Charter, really, it was the parent company. What's important to Charter is the stock market.
Uh-huh. Didn't Tesla stock crash last week? And I'm looking for the number here. Elon Musk lost like $100 billion or some ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah, hardly noticed
in stock value. Yeah,
pocket lint.
Yeah.
Pocket lint for. But yeah, so it's a matter of money. As it always is.
Yeah, that's the only thing that matters.
And I'm just very happy that if I want to sit, I wish I had the time to sit at home and do nothing but stream movies all day long. But if I want to do that on Greenlight, they're perfectly happy to let me do that.
$16 billion, the single largest loss of any person ever. Lost $16 billion overnight. Yeah.
I can't get a violin any tinier.
What was the Australia? Oh, years ago, Willie Nelson got into trouble for back taxes because his accountant ran off with all his money. And so he owed $1 million in back taxes. And I'm thinking, okay, Willie Nelson, you know, singer, earned enough money when he's not really touring that much to owe $1 million in back taxes.
Yes, exactly.
We are really in the wrong business, aren't we?
We really are. We really, really are. But the reality is that that if you're going to put data caps on people, you have to make them reasonable data caps. And if you were to look at, I actually looked at, and here's another thing about routers.
Yeah, look at your router.
In your router, you can, most of them, and you can turn it on if it's not turned on, you can keep track of how much data you use in a month.
A lot of
will be astounded.
A lot of computers have that option, so you can see how much data that computer has had.
Right.
But if you look in your router, it tells you every computer, every phone, every nightlight connected to the internet, every camera, all your Internet of the Things. The refrigerator that can warn you when you're out of milk.
Right. And many gigabytes of data a month. And it's actually frightening. But then I realized, a couple of days a week, my daughter comes over and she's streaming stuff. My wife is streaming stuff all the time. I'm streaming stuff all the time. Yeah, It's going to add up. If we had data caps, we'd have to make a choice. Do we just stop doing all of that stuff, or do we pay through the nose?
Mm-hmm. My computer's been up for 2 weeks since I last rebooted it, and I've used 55 gigs in 2 weeks. Yeah. So 20, 30 gigs a week. And they're talking about, a 20 gig a month data cap.
Right. And you aren't even doing a lot of streaming. Well, of course,
I do. The only time I use this laptop is on Saturday.
Right.
When I stream the video, and then I create the podcast and stream it out again. I hardly ever touch this computer through the rest of the week.
Right. But yeah, if you look at your router, you can set, if it's not set up to track your usage, you should set it up to do that. And if you look at it, you will be shocked, I promise you.
We have heard from other cities that have a data cap. I think Comcast in Texas was doing 100 gigs a month.
That's ludicrous.
It isn't bad for one person.
Right.
Yeah, but now you got mom, dad, and the three kids are all home from everything.
And Zooming all day long.
Zooming all day long,
for
yeah.
work and school.
You do 100 gigs a day.
Right.
Like I say, the phones and laptops and all that have become an essential part of our lives now. That, like I say, you can't even go out. And just, folks, when you're driving around, just kind of look at the scenery and watch all the folks that are walking, say, on the sidewalk or anything else. Mm-hmm. They're not looking up. They're looking down, and they're glued to their phone.
On my way here, before I got on the expressway, I passed one of those sign spinners.
Oh, yeah.
He was sitting down looking at his phone, and the sign was on the ground, not even face up. And so, benefit of the doubt, maybe he's taking a mandated work break.
Yes, possibly. Yeah. That's certainly not an impossibility. But yeah, and look at. I just got an update to my phone. That was multiple gigs.
Yeah.
Either I don't get the update, or I go over my data cap.
And each device has to download it separately.
Each device is downloaded separately. How many Windows machines do you have
that
are going to download like multi-gigabyte updates that also brick your machine?
Right. I guess
bricking your machine is the way to solve it.
Or the Windows updates.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
All the advertisements you get on web pages.
You're paying for those.
You now get to pay to see an ad.
That's exactly right.
You usually pay to not see the ad.
Right. The data caps are much more insidious than you think they are. And they really, you really have to pay attention to how much data you use a month. And your router will tell, most decent routers will tell you that. If it's not turned on, turn it on.
And the internet companies always say, well, it's just like electricity and water. The more you use, the more you pay. But most of those are pretty cheap that you don't have to worry about, should I take a shower today or not? Because I can't afford
it. Countries have faster and cheaper internet service than us.
That's right.
Audacity is running on that computer up there.
Yeah, it is.
I just noticed that. Yeah. Is Rob logged in editing a show?
Oh, by the way, Audacity is 100% free. It's free software, so go ahead and use it. All right, that music tells us you have wasted another week with this nonsense. I want to thank everybody who called and texted in.
The end is nigh.
The end is nigh. The end is here, actually.
We've got a minute left.
You're right. It's very nigh, but it is nigh. Yeah, last call. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Again, thanks to everyone who called and texted in. We very much appreciate it. Please vote in the poll. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great. And truly grateful to you, because with your generous support, we are on the air because we are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Be good to one another. Smile. We'll see you in just 166 hours.